Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. How are you today? I hope you're doing really well. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. I am a coach, I'm a hypnotherapist, and I'm the author of two books, The Anxiety Solution and my new book, Brave New Girl, Seven Steps to Confidence. So this podcast is all about helping you to become your calmest, happiest, and most confident self. And today I'm interviewing a friend of mine, an incredible coach, although coach doesn't quite cover all the amazing work that Kate Taylor does. She is a lover of disco balls, a bright red lip, and more leopard print than is necessary. And she's definitely not your average coach. Kate Taylor is a leading life design and empowerment coach. She is a creative business coach and mentor. She's a master NLP practitioner and a clinical hypnotherapist. She's also a choir teacher, a writer, speaker, and creator of the Practical Magic Activation Deck, the UK's first life coach in a box. Not only that, but she also organized a festival, The Awakening, on the Isle of Wight, which was a massive success. So Kate has a wealth of knowledge and experience to share. So some of the things we chat about are what practical magic is, and this just sounds so intriguing to me, so I can't wait for you to hear exactly what that is. We talk about the subconscious mind. Honestly, I could talk about the subconscious all day. It's amazing. Whenever I meet another hypnotherapist or someone that does similar work to me, we just have the best conversations because we can really talk about how the mind works and how we can get the mind on side so that it's working for us. We talk about the most common question that Kate gets asked, which is, what to do when you're at a crossroads in your life? How many of you listening feel as though you might be at a crossroads and needing some advice or needing to know what the next step is? Well, this episode is definitely for you. We talk about the magic of Koya, which is, well, you just have to wait and see what that is, but it's magic. Plus, we talk about being addicted to busy. And how we can start to slow down. And we also chat about practical tools and so much more wisdom from Kate. So I think you're gonna love this episode. I just wanna let you know about the free resources that I have over at karmayou.com/free. If you enter your details there, I'm gonna send you my free anxiety busting toolkit that is full of resources, tools, as you would imagine from a toolkit, and things that can help you in your day-to-day life to be calmer. So head on over to karmayou.com/free, enter your email there, and I will send you some goodies. So let's get into the interview with Kate Taylor. This week's episode of the Karma You podcast is sponsored by Pukka Herbs. I'm really excited to share that Pukka have launched a new tea, Peace, an innovative hemp blend to promote calm, which can be enjoyed throughout the day. It has become part of my routine to enjoy in stressful moments or when I want to switch off after a day of work. Even its beautiful packaging has a calming effect when I see it on my shelf. Peace tea truly is nature's antidote to everyday challenges. The ingredients are 100% organic and ethically sourced, which means it's not only great for you, but also the planet. So peace tea contains ashwagandha, an ingredient I recommend to all my clients. It naturally improves energy and calms the nervous system. Chamomile, one of the most widely used relaxing herbs around the world. And hemp leaf, a variety of the cannabis sativa plant species. You've probably heard of the calming effects of CBD, a non-psychoactive component of hemp, and the tea contains CBD plus other calming essential oils from hemp. This blend supports the mind and body's ability to cope with adapt to, and look beyond daily stresses. Perfect for busy 21st century living. Peace Tea is available to buy at Sainsbury's and Tesco's, and I hope you love it as much as I do. So welcome, Kate. Thanks so much for having me, Chloe.
It's such a pleasure to be here.
I'm so looking forward to this conversation. Can you tell us, for those that don't know, what it is that you do and how you got to where you are today?
Okay, so God, where do I start? Well, I call myself, like, the title I give myself is a life design and empowerment coach. But actually, you know, we have to give our titles to have something to hook on to. Actually, what I do is so much more than that. I call my work practical magic because it's how we get from where we want to get to, like taking the practical steps, but how we then release our magic to get there. And for me, magic is about our empowerment, our creativity, tuning into our intuition, and all of the magic that comes from when we release ourselves from the things that are holding us back and getting really in tune. And it's also that like head body connection as well, the practical being the head and this magic that we've got in this incredible vessel that we have as well. So I do that through what I call practical magic is all the modalities that I work with. So life coaching, I'm a master NLP practitioner, so neuro-linguistic programming. I'm a Koya teacher, which we can talk a bit more about. I've created this product called the Practical Magic Activation Deck, but I love to bring in centuries of philosophy and thought and meditation and breath work and all of these incredible modalities into what we can do so that we can get to freedom, essentially. I guess the journey starts the day we come into this world and probably before that, doesn't it? But if I think about particularly how I got into this work, so I think about previous guys that I was in. I used to work in advertising world, and it was about a time when I was in my 30s. I was hitting that point in my life where I come out of the self-inquiry mode of 20s, like trying to understand who I am in this world, and hit the, but what does it all mean? In the 30s, like, how do I make a difference and an impact, and how do I work with people? How do I be of service? And this was like tied in with lots of other things going on in my life. As they tend to happen all in one go, I'd had a period of, I'd lost both of my parents. I was in a marriage I didn't know if I wanted to be in. I was working in this job where I didn't know if it was enough to sustain me and who I was in this world and how I help people. And a lot of questions that no amount of white wine can get the answers to. So a friend of mine, actually this lady who used to come and do massage, and it's interesting how the body connection came in there. She said, you know, why don't you see a coach? So she recommended me this incredible man called Matt, who I still work with and collaborate with now, Matt Taylor. And we just had this period of self-inquiry and working out what it is that I wanted to do and how I wanted to help people. And it was such a cathartic process that I thought, well, if this can do this for me, what difference could this make to the women in my life, particularly where I was working in the creative industries? And that's kind of where this work has blossomed from. And it's been a very intuitively led process. I've been doing this now for 7 odd years, and it's really about uncovering processes, uncovering what doesn't work for us. For me, it's been about getting tuned into the body, very much so, because I was so up in my head for so long, like doing everything up there and not getting connected in. And it's just been this incredible journey of uncovering, peeling back, getting raw, getting vulnerable, and helping other people to do the same so that we can come home to ourselves.
I love that idea of coming home to ourselves. That just sounds so good and so needed, I think, in this day and age. I think so many people listening are going to relate to that sense of being up in their heads all the time and seeking meaning in their lives and, you know, reaching a point where maybe a few things are kind of going wrong and thinking you need to find a different direction. I also love the idea of practical magic. It just sounds so intriguing to me. I'm like, oh, I want some practical magic in my life.
Yeah, because for me, it's like, well, it came about because I was working with a client who she wanted to do NLP work. But she was like, I don't want any of that magical thinking. I'm not into woo-woo. I'm not into spirituality. I've come away from that. I was like, that's totally cool. And the NLP, where it's a bit like, it's like hypnotherapy, it's another version of, it's another strand of, and you're working very much with the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind likes bringing up symbols, shapes, things that we cannot, you know, we are quite esoteric. It's tuning into spirit around us, it's tuning into energy. And for some people who are very practical, that just doesn't work for them. So I remember her saying, oh, this is too much magical thinking for me, can I have some more of the practical? I was like, that's totally cool, I'm totally up for that, because that's what I do. But then I was like, God, isn't it magic? Isn't it magic that we can tune into this whole everything, not just what we consciously see, feel and do, but everything around us, to have a more fulfilled life that is so rich, you know? It was a real like moment that it just dinged in. I was like, yeah, this is practical magic.
That's so good. I think you can what's the quote? It's like, either everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's much better to think everything's a miracle, the world is magic, I'm magic. That's just a better way to live, I think.
I think so. Yeah. And it allows curiosity and exploration to come in, doesn't it?
Definitely. Definitely. Can you tell us about what are the sort of issues that you see people struggling with? What are the common things that people come and see you for, or that you notice in people?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that 99% of the majority that people come my way, the one phrase I use more often than not is, I'm at a crossroads. And I'm sure you hear this as well, you know. It's when you've got to a point where you are stuck, like rabbit in a headlight stuck, and you're not sure which direction it is that's right for you to go. And that's having an impact on every other area of your life. And I would say that the majority of people echo the story that I had, really, where they've got to a certain point in their lives and what they knew before, maybe a previous, I like to call it like a previous layer or a previous chapter, just as they've outgrown it, it doesn't fit anymore. And what's happened is that they've grown up with all of these maybe stories and beliefs about what they think life should be, i.e. I should be married by a certain time, I should have kids by a certain time, I should have this career, time is running out. And there's so many questions that go on, and it's like you just freeze, and then you can't see the future in front of you, or the future that you thought you should be living, and nothing fits. So yeah, they come and like literally like, I am stuck, my motivation is gone, my confidence is completely torn away from me, I thought I'd be here but I'm not, what do I do next? And that's where I help them to get clear on that kind of next path, and help them get there as well through supporting the practical steps, but also supporting them in the whole, in the 360.
I think that is such a common thing. It's like, we're all going to go through changes in our lives, come to crossroads, feeling stuck, and that sense of overwhelm. That's something I hear a lot of, like, there's all these things I should be doing, I don't know what I should do, all these boxes that I feel like I need to tick. Mm. And sometimes you do need someone to like help you get out of that hole and help
yeah.
you to find a way out and make a change.
Yeah. And a lot of time people are coming to you, and I know I recognize it because I've been there, and like, can you just tell me what to do? And it's like, no, I'll help you get there to get to the answers because they're in there, but I ain't going to tell you what to do. Just so we're clear on that, I will support your journey, and I'm going to help you really uncover so many facets of yourself you didn't even know existed, and empower your self-belief, your motivation, your confidence, all of that, to get to what you want to get to, even if you don't know what it is yet. But that's like an uncovery, a discovery process that we go through.
I think that's one of the things that people maybe a misconception about coaching or therapy, that the therapist, the coach just tells you what to do. But the truth is, often we think that we want to be told what to do, but actually, when we're told what to do, very often we rebel against it,
totally.
We reject it, we resist it, and actually it's so much more powerful if someone is helping to draw that out of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, crikey, if anybody tells me what to do, my partner will attest to this. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. It's so much more empowering when we get to come up with a solution or create new ways of doing something, and then we take action on it. That lasts the lifetime, because then you can look back and go, yeah, I did that. I can remember the time when I was really stuck and I made the changes I needed to get there. And then that helps you kind of with every single area of your life moving forward. Whereas if somebody told you to do it, you'd just be like, well, that was them, that wasn't me. So yeah, 100%.
Totally. I really want to talk to you about creativity, because I know that part of what you do is helping creative people. And I have to say, for me personally, I for years would tell myself, I'm not creative. My whole family is very artistic. My granny, my granddad were like professional artists. My mom's an art teacher. My sister's an illustrator. And I thought, I'm not the arty one. I'm like more the sciencey one. And, you know, people sometimes have to remind me, Chloe, like, you have written 2 books and you do all these creative things, but I find it hard to like take ownership of that label of creativity. Do you find that people say to you, oh, I'm not creative?
All the time. And when I say I work with creative people, that is every single one of us. Like, I don't put the fact, you don't have to be born with a paintbrush or a pencil in your hand to be creative, you know? It really is, because and you've rightly said it, creativity comes in all forms, in all ways. I was, when I was talking at the Awakening at the weekend, a festival, I was saying, like, you know, there were a few mums there, and I was like, have you ever told your kids a little white lie because you wanted them to do something else rather than what they're doing? And they're like, yeah. It's like, that's creativity in a different form. You know, the fact that we are thinking, feeling, breathing, inspirational human beings means that we have to have creativity at the heart of what we do. You know, we wake up and we think about a new idea for something. It can be something as simple as, I'm going to create a recipe this evening for some delicious food, or I'm going to hum a tune, or I'm going to find a new way of doing something. Because for me, creativity and resilience come hand in hand. So when something doesn't work, or whether we need to change something, whether we need to pivot away from something that hasn't worked for us, that's our creativity kicking in. And also, creativity is going into this incredible filing cabinet of our subconscious mind and using everything that we've got within us to empower to do something different as well. So we tune into, I mean, what's your mode of connecting in with yourself, Chloe? Are you a visual person, or are you auditory, are you kinesthetic? What would you say?
Visual. I can easily visualize things. Yeah.
There you go. That's your visual creativity kicking into place. So your subconscious mind will use visuals, it may use colors, it may use symbols, it may use shapes to bring you whatever it is you need to either stop you or empower you, right? So that for me is the essence of creativity.
Okay, so that's good news. We are all creative.
We are all creative.
And I never made that link before between creativity and resilience, about how tapping into that can help us to handle things and find solutions. And
totally, like, I love the idea. I mean, I the word failure for me doesn't exist, but it's something that we can use to hang stuff onto sometimes, isn't it? And there's this big malaise, I think, this big symptom of we're all scared to fail, that's particularly going on at the moment. I see it a lot with younger people. I see a lot with people going into through their careers. I see it a lot with people who are stuck because they're so scared of failing. And I'm using the inverted fingers, because we're so scared of something that's going to go wrong. However, for me, if we reframe the idea of failure, is that everything is experimentation, and anything that doesn't go in the way that we expected it to, or we put an expectation on it, then we can find other ways of making it work for us. So we're constantly pivoting. You're constantly going to find a way of not doing something that you did before if it didn't work. So that for me is creativity, finding new ways and exploring.
I think that fear of failure is huge for so many people, whether or not we're even aware of it. Sometimes it's happening in the background, and we're sabotaging ourselves and not taking action and holding ourselves back. And at the root of it is a fear of failure, or procrastinating. That's one I see a lot with people. They don't realize that procrastination is often a fear of failure.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And what's underneath that is the shame. You know, when it comes to the essence of it, we fear shame. We fear that we're going to be seen as less than, and we've put ourselves almost up on this pedestal that we fall down from. And the way that you kind of notice when fear is taking place, this fear of failure, is you sense it, you feel it in the body. You know, as soon as I say it, I start feeling it in my solar plexus, in my stomach area. And it's this kind of like, oh, you know, like, you'd get that kind of feeling that's stuck. It's like, oh my God, I can't go any further. I'm sure most people will recognize a sense of feeling that. And once we get tuned into through the body, these particular nuances of what is this? Oh yeah, this is a fear of failure. This is a fear of I'm going to get something wrong. What's this going to say about me? Then we can kind of work with it and work through it and shift it and put something else in place.
Okay. So being aware of it and knowing that shame can be at the root of that fear of failure, that kind of not feeling good enough, not feeling good about ourselves, not feeling worthy. I know you've mentioned a couple of times tuning into the body, and certainly for a lot of the work I do with anxiety, we often think of, well, people often think that anxiety is a mental issue, but actually so much of it is in the body. It's that fear that seems to just manifest in the body, and it can be ancient fear from our childhoods or back in our DNA even. Can you tell us about your work with Koya and with getting into the body and that sort of thing?
As I say, like, the work that I've done has just been such an organic and beautiful process. And when I started coaching, it was very much like practical, like, how do I help people get to where they get to? Then I went into working with neuro-linguistic programming, which I adore. Again, very, we would say, head-based. Again, I'm using inverted finger waves. Because it's about the mental stimulation, but also connecting in with thoughts and feelings. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. But I recognize that for so many years, like I'd moved out of my corporate work into the coaching work, and everything from the outside looked absolutely perfect. You know, if you'd have looked at my life and gone, look at what she really has set herself a 2-year goal. She's got the house by the sea. She's even got the dog called Bertie. She's got the partner she really loves, the life that she's really created. But I felt nothing from the neck down. Absolutely nothing. Like, literally could have put scissors in my legs. Didn't do that, thank goodness. But there was nothing. And what I recognize now is actually that was what we would know as a depression, but not as I knew it. You know, I knew what that extreme sadness felt like, but this was a depression of the nervous system. And that had been years of trauma and grief and all of the things that had led me to get to where I am manifesting. And actually, as these things tend to happen, the invitation to move through that came from the most, for me, it was kind of quite an esoteric route. So I was at a friend's hen party, and there was a tarot reader, and I'd kind of left spirituality off the shelf for a little while throughout my 20s, because I was focusing on my career. And there was a tarot card reader there, and I wasn't going to see her. I wasn't interested. And then at the end, when she was just putting her coat on to leave, I was just like, right, okay, I'm just going to sit down and see what happens. And she was like, I've been waiting for you all day. I was like, well, of course you have. You're a tarot reader, you know? Anyway, she was pulling these cards, and every single card she was pulling was about water that couldn't flow, to the point where there were two cards stuck together. And the one that was stuck underneath that dropped down was an iceberg. And she went, if you want any more indication that there is energy stuck in your body, there it is. And I was like, you know, when you just like mic drop, okay. So
bumps right now.
I know. And she was like, and I was like, just went into the head base. Okay, so what do I do about it? Very masculine. Okay, I'm going to go into this, hit it full force. Let's shift this. What do I do? And she went, you'll find a way. And I was like, that is the most frustrating answer I've ever had. Fix me now. You know, very masculine. So actually what I gave myself permission to do was experiment. So I tried so many different things, kinesiology, Reiki, lots and lots of different things. And my friend Jane does this movement practice called Koya, which is about getting into the feminine. It's the essence of remembering that we are wise, wild and free. And I'd seen her doing it so many times, and I resisted. I was like, I don't need to learn how to dance. I can cut myself loose on a dance floor, whatever. Koya means queen, whatever. I don't need my feminine, and I'm a woman, you know? Again, very masculine. But my friends at the time, Lucy and Joe, were doing Higher Selfie. Do you remember Higher Selfie?
Yes, yeah, that's Lucy Sheridan and
Joe Westwood.
Yes, yeah.
So they had done a Sunday workshop where Jane was facilitating a Koya session. I was like, well, listen, I'm going to go and support them, as most I'll go and support them. I'll be the good friend. Anyway, I danced Koya for the first time. And you go through a journey with Koya where you tune into your feminine essence, you do some yoga, do some meditation, and at the end, or towards the end, is the free dance. And I remember, and everybody who was there, remember, Jane remembers it very specifically, we were dancing to Katy Perry Firework, and I literally was that firework. I was dancing with my arms aloft, spinning around and around in circles, and I just felt this surge of joy, like literally going through my whole body, and remembering what it felt like to feel like a child and that complete sense of freedom in the body. And it was just this complete, like, what the hell is this thing? I can feel myself again. So that started this new journey of like, this feels like the thing. I'm not going to put pressure on it, but this feels like the thing. So I followed my intuition on that. I ended up going to Costa Rica within 3 months, I think, and learning to teach, to become a Koya teacher. And from that point on, I came back into my body. And since then, it's been this journey of connecting head and body and unleashing so much of my world, so much of that energy. I tuned in very much to chakra work and energy work when I was out there. And that's completely opened up so much from that point forward. It really has.
That's amazing. I think this is just such an important point for people listening about how important it is to connect with our bodies and allow ourselves to feel and allow that energy to flow. I think things like, I often think about like panic attacks are when there's this energy inside our bodies that can't get out and can't be processed. And we just, our nervous system just has like a meltdown basically, because we haven't been able to feel our feelings or listen to what's going on. And so, yeah, having a way to like move that energy and connect with your body, so, so important.
Yeah. I mean, we've been sold the idea. I mean, we're getting better at it, but we've been sold the idea that emotion, especially for women and very much for men, and men find it more difficult, as we know. That's why such an issue with depression and suicide rates amongst men, is that we've been sold from this idea of trying to keep the feminine, confined, that emotion is dangerous, that feeling is bad, that all, you know, that as a woman you should be happy and quiet and kind and the people pleaser all the time. But actually, we feel, as human beings, we feel all range of things all of the time. So it's not to say that all emotion is bad, that anger, for example, is a bad thing, that fear is a bad thing. If we work with it, we understand so much more of it, and we can use it in a way that works for us.
That's, yeah, really important point. I think I remember, I'm just thinking about one of my first therapists that I went to go and see like 8 years ago or something, would always say, it's not good or bad, it's just an emotion, emotions aren't good or bad. And had to really hammer that home to me, because I think I've been trying to work on my physical manifestations of anxiety by like just positive thinking, and finding that the emotions would come out at other times, like I get really angry about something or like really like hysterically upset. And it's because I wasn't really tuned in and allowing the feelings to flow and allowing myself to feel them.
Yeah.
So is Koya, is that something that people always do in a group? Can you do it on your own? Is doing it as part of a group part of the healing process of it?
Yeah, I mean, Koya is very much rooted in community. So whenever I teach, I do it with a room full of women and we sit in circle together. Because you can guarantee that one person's story is everybody else's story, you know, and we sit in circle, we pull a card, we tune in, and we share. At the beginning, you always share like what's coming up for us. It's always based around the theme. I mean, you can do elements. I love doing elements of Koya on my own. So for example, there's certain parts of it, like shaking, for example, or hip opening or heart opening, that I will use elements of in my everyday life, especially if I want to get creative, I'll use the hip space. And there are videos on, if you don't have a Koya teacher, because there's not many of us in the UK, if you're listening in the UK, there's a lot in the States, it's growing in Europe. But if you can't get to a class, there are some great videos online on the Koya website as well. And it's just a nice way to start getting in tune with your body and doing it in a way that feels good for you. That's always the invitation with Koya. It's like, it's not about how it looks, but how it feels, and having that connection to not just ourselves, but to our lineage as well. You mentioned something before about sometimes fear living in the, or anxiety or whatever it is living in the DNA. Like, actually all of our, everything lives in the DNA, everything lives through our lineage. So it's having that connection to it all. So you're never doing it alone, actually. You're never doing it alone. You are connected to somewhere, something at any time. But it is great to do it with a group of people.
Brilliant. I feel very, I need to go and find a class. I need to come to one of your classes.
Yes, absolutely.
And just the thing about the lineage, I'm reminded of this image that's, I'm sure, on social media somewhere, of our grandmother being pregnant with our mother and the eggs, all the eggs that made you and me, were made whilst our mother was in our grandmother.
I know. Those
things, the stress that our grandmother might have experienced. I know my grandmother was extremely stressed and angry, and all of that goes into the eggs, goes into our mums, get passed on, and think of all the generations that trauma has gone through the generations. It's quite amazing to think about it.
Like, yeah, it really is. And I've done work in, when I've been doing NLP, where we're working on regression, and it doesn't, when I talk about regression, it can be in this lifetime, can be in utero, it can be in a previous lifetime. And I had a particular experience when I was in training a few years back, where I actually traveled the emotional memory, because we can travel with consciousness. You know, we have this invisible thread all the time, like the golden thread. I was able to travel through my unconscious or subconscious thought to the connection with where this particular emotion started, like where the challenge was. And it was in my mum's belly when she was pregnant with me. And I was there, and I could see her on the edge of the bed. You know, I was able to travel there. It is absolutely incredible what we can do with connecting in with this energy through lineage. It's absolutely incredible. And it can heal so much when you work with it.
That's fascinating. Wow. Can you talk a bit more about NLP? Because I hear a lot about NLP because my partner Aidan recently did an NLP training, and yes, you were one of the facilitators.
I was indeed. What an honour to meet him as well. I know he was connected to you, lovely Chloe.
Yeah. And he is, I think it's fair to say, he's obsessed with NLP now. He talks about it a lot at home, and I'm constantly getting asked to help him with practices and that sort of thing. But so can you tell us what NLP is, how it helps people?
Yeah, absolutely. So NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So what it does is it works with the brain, works with thoughts, works with these things that are going on for us. And it works with the linguistics part. So how we communicate, how we speak, how we hear, how we see, and the programming. So what's going on from us from a programming point of view. For me, very simply put, for me, it's like putting the live into living. That's how I like to think of NLP. It's about taking all of those things that maybe aren't working for us. So say we've got a computer plug-in. Let's use an example of, I've got fear. Say somebody's got a fear of public speaking. I'm just going to use, because that's quite a common one. What's going on is the plug that's in our circuitry, in our subconscious mind, the programming is saying, I am terrified of public speaking. So therefore, even when I think about it, my palms are going to start sweating. I get the fear. My heart starts racing. You have a very physical reaction to it, because the trigger that's going in is public speaking means scary. Body responds to that. It's the same, you know, as I'm sure with you, with anxiety and hypnotherapy, thinking about what people come into, they have a very visceral reaction to it. What NLP does is, in with various techniques, is it helps to change the switch on that. So if you think about the brain as a computer, so the input going in, the trigger going in, tapping into the keyboard, and then the programming going on, so running the circuitry of then what our response is to that. So if there's something like public speaking, for example, or it could be any single thing, like I want to feel more confident, I want to give up smoking, whatever that is, what we do is work with all parts of you to put in another plug. So if your trigger is public speaking, it's like, which part of it is it that causes the fear, and when did that start? And then we go back and we look at what was happening at that time, because it could have been something that's completely unrelated, and we use the unconscious mind to travel. And then we go, okay, so what do we need to do to change that? And we'll find all of the tools, all the resources that we've already got, like this inner wisdom that we've got, and we'll go in and we'll reprogram that. So you're taking out the plug that doesn't work and you're putting in one that does. So, and again, like I say, this can go across so many things across the board. Public speaking is a really good one because I have so many successes for people that would just, and myself included, would just vomit or be in a crumpled heap on the floor. And now they're giving audiences to 250 plus thousand people. It's just phenomenal to see how the disempowerment can go to empowerment. And that's across everything in your life, basically.
It's amazing. It sounds amazing. And having experienced it a bit myself, I can say it's one of those things that I don't want to say it's like magic, but it can be like almost like an instant. Something shifts. Something like you hone in on the specific problem, you get to the root of it, and it shifts it. And then suddenly it's like, how could I have ever found public difficult?
It's like, I know, it's so funny. It is like magic. That's why my work is practical magic. Because you're like, you've held on. Say you've got a memory of something, because the unconscious mind brings us, subconscious mind brings us memories all the time. I always think when I've got a problem that's coming up, my subconscious mind, it's got a debt now to bring me a memory of where it started, because the unconscious mind only wants the best for you. So it may come in various crazy ways, obviously, but I will always get a memory of when it first started. So I can go, ah, okay. So you're telling me that's, there's something in that memory that this is the essence of when there was a problem, there's also a solution. So let's get to the solution in that memory. Let's clear that memory up. And because we're so connected, i.e. brain and body, once we clear that memory up, the physical reaction will change to that, i.e. what was fear may turn into empowerment, or not even feeling that feeling anymore. Then through the vagus nerve connection, which goes up then to the brain, then the thought pattern changes as well. So instead of going, I hate public speaking, it's scary, because you've done that work with changing the physical reaction to it in the unconscious, then the thought goes up through the vagus nerve to go, actually, I really love it. I get so empowered and motivated and energized by all these incredible people. It is like magic. You're absolutely right. I love it.
So, so interesting. I'm sure we could talk just about the unconscious mind for about 5 hours, Kate.
Probably could. And a lot longer than that too.
One question I wanted to ask you is, what's important to you right now?
Right now, as we speak, Chloe, for me, I shared this before we got on, is a bit of rest and restore. I am the eternal, I don't want to say hustler because I don't hustle. I'm so aligned with what I do. But what's important for me now at the moment and other people around me is about taking some time to pause, reflect. I've come out of a period of the last 2 years where I've been in creation mode, and not just creation, but production mode. So last year I brought the Practical Magic Activation Deck to life through a Kickstarter, which was phenomenal. We raised £17,000 to bring it to life. That's been doing really well. And then after that stopped, because I'm obsessed with work, I was having a shower, and I do these lovely retreats, weekend retreats on the Isle of Wight. And this idea came in for doing a festival on the Isle of Wight of wellbeing and self-care, where I could invite lots of different practitioners to come and share their work. So I'd been doing that for the last 6 months, and just had the first one in June, and then got asked to bring it to another festival. So it's been on. And so for me now is trying to tear away a few of the tendrils from being in work mode constantly. I love what I do, but actually I'm burning myself out, and I recognize that I do that a lot. And that's an old story and an old program that's running for me. So I'm in rest and repair. I'm going away for some social time, some friend time next week, and then away on holiday. And as I said to you, I can already feel the anxiety of not having my laptop near me. I can feel it, but I know that I need to just settle. And when we've been in really busy times, having some time, if you've been doing the work that we do, for example, with hypnotherapy, with NLP, with any kind of change work, is allowing yourself some time to let it integrate, to let it settle. So that's what's important to me right now. I'll let you know how I go with it. I can feel myself twitching already.
I know. It's interesting you use the word hustle, because I was reading something recently about hustle porn, which is the glamorization of hustling, and particularly in entrepreneurs or certain industries, or maybe influencers. I think this happens a lot, where people are posting all the time about what they're doing. It all seems so glamorous, and all these things, but it's not very sustainable. We can't do that forever. And it is very rewarding at the time, especially if you're working and it's your calling, and it's very rewarding, but there comes a time when we do need to just step back and rest. And so, yeah, I hope people listening, if they resonate, can take this as a sign to give themselves permission to switch off and have that time to integrate and rest.
Absolutely. And even if that comes in, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't have time for rest. It's like, even if that's like 5 minutes of getting your feet on the ground and connecting in with your breath throughout the day, there's always 5 minutes for breath. There's always 5 minutes for just a bit of stillness. You know, and I say this as we're talking, I've got my hands like firmly placed down, palm down, because it's in that grounding that allows things to settle. And so it does take us from head and back into the earth, back into the body, back into the grounding. And if we can just do a little bit of that, even in this time, you know, even if you're in hustle mode, then it will slow you things down. And it slows time down as well, so we can actually get more done and look after ourselves.
Slowing time down. Mm. Oh, no. This is something I actually posted on my Instagram stories. Like, what tips do people have for slowing time down? Because I don't like the way time goes so quickly. It bothers me. I think we all think this, don't we? How is it August now? Where's the summer? All this sort of thing. So actually slowing down can help to slow time down.
Yeah. I mean, time is a construct. You know, time in itself is a very masculine construct. It comes from the Gregorian calendar, and we only know time because of clocks. There's certain different cultures where they don't have such a thing as clock. They have night and they have day, and time for them is irrelevant. So, for example, if they're going to get a bus somewhere, they get on the bus when the bus comes. There's no such thing as timetables. In our Western society, we use time as a measure for how much we can get done, right? How much we can fill, or there's not enough of it. We recognize that in our language about how we view time. And time is an energetic thing. So if you think about, if you've been, and I share this with myself, like I was in a car accident last year. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but I went hurtling into a car at 70 miles an hour on the motorway. But in that moment of what was probably, you know, 2-5 seconds, I was able to slow time enough so that my reactions could come onto hyper alert and see what needed to be done. And almost like when I visualize it now, I've been able to slow down what happened so that I could correct my course of action. I was able to adjust myself so that it didn't end as badly as it could have done. And we notice this. And what I would say is, if you do have a challenge with time running out or going too fast, is set yourself an intention that you have all the time that you need, you know. And again, coming into breath is the most important thing here. So we can slow down our concept of time by slowing down our breathing, by slowing down our movements, by getting it into the body, because the speed up of time does take us out, doesn't it? Mm. When you can get in, nature is the best way to do this. Like, nature doesn't hurry for anyone, you know, it just does what it does throughout the seasons. So getting yourself connected into the earth, taking some nice deep breaths, will slow down time. It's about your relationship to what needs to get done that maybe needs to change.
I love that. That's really, I'm going to be thinking about this for after this conversation. I think the sense of time can be such a source of stress. Like, I haven't got enough time. Am I wasting time?
It's running out.
Time, right? It's running out. I'm going to be late, all these things that can really have a big impact. So,
and it's noticing that, isn't it? So when we talk about the linguistics part of neuro-linguistic programming, it's noticing what you're saying to yourself, noticing how you use that language around time. What if you had all the time in the world? What if time was more than enough? What if you had more than you needed? Like, if you take and you reframe some of that, then the body starts adjusting accordingly, and it just goes, virtually, you know, what that thing that I thought I had to speed up, it doesn't seem like it needs to be quite so quick now. Mm. So you then stretch time rather than reduce it.
Stretching time. That sounds so good to me. Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I've loved this conversation.
Oh, me too.
So interesting. Can you tell us about what it is that you're working on at the moment, how people can find out more about you and learn about how to work with you? And
yeah, so I am the proverbial slashy. I've always got a few things going on at the moment at any given time because I just get so excited about the work that I do. So as I said, I've just come out of the Awakening, which was a festival of wellbeing and self-care on the Isle of Wight. I'm in planning for next year already. So that's on the 6th and 7th of June. So I'm just really excited about the curation and bringing people together and all the different things that are going to go on there. So that will be happening next year. I've got work coming up with the Practical Magic Activation Deck, which is, like I say, this toolkit that I've got. I'll be doing a lot of that in October. So I'm going to be at Rest Best, which is this amazing well-being event for women on the 6th of October. The Om Yoga Show in October, and then I've got an exhibition of all the artwork that's going on at the end of the month down in Worthing. So I would love to see any of you there if you fancy coming along for some creative mindfulness. We're going to be doing that. And also I'm going to be doing, September always feels like a really great time to check in with ourselves. So I'm going to be doing some reset and refocus work with clients around September. So if anybody's feeling like they might just need a check-in, or they want to start with coaching, or there's something that they've been working on that's kind of maybe not got the energy that is needed, or you've come out of the summer holidays and you're like, what the heck is next? That's what I'm going to be looking at and working with people there. So that's one-to-one coaching. And then I've got this amazing Practical Magic Weekend retreat I'm doing on the Isle of Wight at the end of September, which is a weekend in nature in these gorgeous, gorgeous tiny homes that absolutely, they're so cute. They're like these eco-sustainable homes, really stylishly done. And we have a weekend of koya and meditation and forest bathing and food and fire ceremony. And it's really about getting connected in. So you can find all of this on my website, katetaylor.co. And you can have a look on Instagram. I'm Kate Taylor Creative Living as well. Find all the links there too.
Amazing. That all sounds delightful. Delightful.
Yes, I'm excited.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Chloe. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend this time with you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really, really hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed chatting to Kate. Come on over and let me know on Instagram. You can find me at Chloe Brotheridge. And I would love to hear from you. What are you taking from this episode? What has inspired you? Is there a practical step that you're going to be taking having listened to this episode? Come on over and let me know. And have you got a friend who would really, really benefit from listening to the Karma You podcast? If so, please do share it with them. And leave me a little review on iTunes if you have 2 minutes to spare, and I'd be so, so grateful. So thank you so much for listening. I'm sending you loads of love. I hope you have a great week, and I hope you'll tune in again soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.